Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 10 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as David Price and myself, Ian Levinstein, discuss whatever comes to mind time after time here on Comic Timing. Today's episode is a special one as we celebrate our 10th episode. And what better way to celebrate than to have on Sean Whalen of the Raging Bullets podcast one more time and the ever jovial Vince Bonavoglia as we discuss team books and have a debate on the ending of the series that changed DC, Infinite Crisis. Here now, Comic Timing. They said it couldn't happen. They said it couldn't be done. Episode 10 of Comic Timing has arrived. We have hit double digits here. I'm Ian Levinstein, the host of this glorious little show here. And to celebrate our first double digits episode, we have one hell of a gathering here. We'll start it off with the regular to the show, my secondhand man, the man of a thousand podcasts. He is David Price.
Hello.
Hello. And joining us here, a return guest. He is the host of the Raging Bullets podcast over at RagingBullets.com. He is Sean Whalen.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much. Life's good.
Awesome. And joining us as well for the first time, you might know him as Vince B, but we know him as Vince I'm already screwing it up. Here we go. Bonavoglia.
Hey, guys.
It's Vince Bonavoglia, otherwise known as Vince B. What's going on, Vince?
Not much.
Well, the reason I have all of you gathered here today, we're going to discuss two topics, and they're sort of going to be linked together, as we're going to be discussing team books today. Mostly, who has the better team books? Who are your favorite team books? Which teams of said team books have been the best over the years? And that's going to make its way into a debate over sort of, I guess, a comparison, as it were, between Infinite Crisis and not liking Infinite Crisis. That is the ending to it, as Infinite Crisis was in many ways the ultimate of team books, along with Crisis on Infinite Earths, as all those heroes gathered at one time. But we're started off with a more general team book discussion first, and I'll start it off with Vince. Vince, what is your favorite team in comic books, and why?
Well, as anyone who visits the forum knows, my current favorite team book is Mark Waid's Legion of Superheroes. I think the guy's doing a magnificent job on this book. A wonderfully complex story. The art by Barry Kitson, who's hasn't always been my favorite, he's just blown me away on this book. It's gorgeous art. The characters are multi-layered, and you have Supergirl now. So, I mean, there's not much not to like. And letters pages. Illustrated letters pages when they do have them.
That's
awesome. How much fun is that?
That's one of my favorite parts of the book, quite frankly.
You know, and the kicker for me was during the Infinite Crisis when Amanda Connor stepped in to do a letters page, and Karate Kid called one of the Omex an asshat. You know, comics do not get better than that.
Anybody who uses the term asshat is automatically awesome in my book.
There you go. That's the closest one in my heart. I think it's a fantastic book. Everyone who I've begged to try it, who's read it, they love it. It's the peak in my, and that goes for, you know, pretty much all of the incarnations of the Legion over the years. There's something about the book. The characters' names may be a little kitschy and, you know, retro, but that's just surface. At the core of the book, it's just a great series with great, great members. Old-time team books, I've been reading comics for more than 30 years. I'd have to say I've pretty much read all the team books out there at one time or another. I enjoyed Avengers back in the day, West Coast Avengers, Justice League, all over the map. But there's one, I have a soft spot for the Marvel Monsters. So if anyone out there remembers the Legion of Monsters, I think they premiered in an issue of Marvel Spotlight, if I'm not mistaken, with Morbius and Ghost Rider and Man-Thing. And then there was a magazine with the classic monsters. It was Frankenstein, you know, and Dracula and the werewolf. That, give me Marvel monsters on a team. You know, there's something for everybody there.
Make but, mine monsters, huh?
That's right, you know. but other, I mean, other than that, just the team dynamic works really well with the Legion. That's my all-time favorite. Love it.
And how about you, Sean? What would your favorite be?
Well, the Legion isn't my favorite, but I'll definitely echo Vince's comments on how great a book that is, especially since Supergirl joined on. I was so surprised over how well she meshed in. It didn't change anything that was already there. But I would say my number one team book right now is JSA, just for consistency month after month, especially when Geoff Johns is writing it. I love the old-school feel, revisiting these iconic characters from DC and modernizing them without losing what made them such great characters. They did a great job, and it really what led me into that was Starman. I was a big fan of Starman, and when James Robinson started up JSA, I latched onto it immediately, and it only got better as time went on. The return of Hawkman led me into this love for Hawkman now that I constantly gush about.
Wait a minute, you love Hawkman? I would have never known.
Yeah, who listens to my show is probably sick of me talking about how much I love Hawkman. But yeah, it all comes from JSA. It's consistently great. It has a family feel. And that to me, a lot of team books sometimes keep the characters too separated from each other, where they don't actually feel like they belong to anything. In JSA, it's always apparent that these people are a team, and it's apparent through the age grouping of them. They've got the old heroes on down to like middle-aged heroes like Mr. Terrific, straight on through to Stargirl, it's just such a great, great book. As far as old-time books, as a kid, it was always Claremont's Uncanny X-Men. I got the first issue I got of that was the one where I was at French's Pharmacy. I was at a pharmacy looking on the shelf, and it was the first Marvel book I ever picked up outside of Spider-Man. And these characters were sitting there, and the cover looked really cool. And it was one where Ileana got taken to Belasco's world, and she was aged when she was pulled out.
I remember that.
It was a very self-contained story. And I was instantly, Wolverine was obviously one of the big attractions, but I loved every character in the book. One of my friends had been a big collector of it, and I went back through and I read everything from Giant Size X-Men 1 straight on through, borrowing them from him, and was just hooked. And again, how I talked about JSA, that book had a family feel when Claremont was writing, especially in his first run. It was, you couldn't help but get attached to those characters. So those are probably my two all-time favorite team books.
I thought you said Claremont wrote the X-Men, but you said self-contained, so isn't that like an oxymoron right there?
especially in recent issues. Oh, great. But back then, there's no doubt that he put on a classic run of just wonderful stories. And
he was weaving something beautiful.
Yeah. These days, when Claremont writes a book, it's, I am the most powerful mutant ever. You've never seen powers like me before. And then Storm comes in and does something she's never done before. And then that's the end of the issue.
a lot of the flack he gets is because when a lot of us were reading Uncanny during the Byrne and the Smith and the Romita Jr. run, is Jim Shooter had a decree that every comic is someone's first comic book. So every Marvel comic had to have the character basically sum up what that character is. And Claremont had a half a dozen characters to work with. So every issue you heard that Wolverine is the best it is at what he does. You heard about Storm. You heard about Colossus in every issue. And I don't think he's ever gotten out of that format.
Yeah.
That would certainly be a good way to describe it. And actually, thank you for mentioning that, because I've wondered for years why they did that. So now we know, and knowing's half the battle.
Okay. But you know what? It worked back then. It did.
It did.
It doesn't today, but it did work back then.
How about David actually having useful information?
Oh!
Snap. See, now Vince can go, because you always want to leave on a high note.
You bet. Oh, okay.
and already it's degenerating down into pure madness. I love it already. David, how about you? What would be your favorite team book?
Oh, Spitfire and the Troubleshooters, of course. all time, is the Wolfman Perez New Teen Titans with the intro of Cyborg and Raven and Starfire. That is my all-time favorite team up until the Judas contract, up until the wedding of Donna Troy and Terry Long. I loved all those issues with the introduction of the Adrian Chase vigilante, and Deathstroke was an awesome villain, and he still is. And that team right there just blows away anything else I can even think of. You know, I tried thinking of other teams that I liked at that time, and like I think the closest might be the Defenders with Hellstrom, Son of Satan, with Valkyrie, with Nighthawk, where it was just a ragtag, just, you know, a bunch of heroes that you wouldn't even think would be in the same room together, let alone you're teaming them up. And I just like that quirky stuff. And I don't know what it was about the Teen Titans. Maybe it was because they were younger. They were the Junior Justice League. But the art was fantastic. Wolfman wrote a hell of a story, and he knew what he was doing. And it just, to me at that time, it still holds up, and it didn't get any better. I think today my favorite team book would probably be the Ultimates.
Now is that on the writing, or is that on the team itself?
As far as the Ultimates?
Yeah.
It is the right. I mean, the art helps. Hitch draws a great book, and I don't mind. I'd rather have the consistency of Hitch always drawing it, so I don't mind if there are delays. The writing good, but I think in that book, I don't know if it's really a big deal to me that Mark Miller's writing it. I'd probably miss it, like when Jeff Loeb starts, I might go, wow, this doesn't read the way it used to. But I really do think it's the team with Tony Stark really being the womanizing alcoholic, with Cap really kind of being, he can be a stick in the mud, but you know, he's just, you know, I mean, that's Cap. I'm really not a fan of the Wasp, and they kind of lost me for a minute with Hawkeye killing people with his fucking fingernails. But, you know, other than that, I really enjoying the book, especially with Quicksilver, and we see Scarlet Witch, and the what the hell's going on with Hank Pym. I do enjoy all the characters in the Ultimates, and I love Nick Fury.
Well, there you go. And Samuel L. Fury really does it for me, so.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to add those to my list, too. David picked a bunch of good books.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
cool.
Especially Defenders. Steve Gerber, one of my favorites.
Without a doubt.
Book.
Now, I guess this might attest to the generation gap here, but I would have to say my favorite team of all time would have to be Young Justice.
It was a good book.
It was a really good book. And again, I think it has to do with the emotional attachment I have for those characters as well, because those were the first characters I read in the DC Universe. And it introduced me into this, you know, this wild world of, you know, of magic, of adventures, of talking cars for no reason whatsoever, and, you know, characters that you know, were flawed, and yet you could tell that, you know, they really wanted to be better heroes. They were trying their best to evolve and to sort of live up to their idols. And definitely you could see that with Robin and with Superboy, and even with characters that really didn't have idols in the strongest sense, like Secret. And she was a character that they brought in, one of the few, like, straight originals that Peter David brought in that I was totally, that I totally loved, if not for her innocence, but also for the fact that when she wasn't in her innocent mode, she could kick ass. And that was just totally awesome about her. And Arrowette also, the trauma involved with the character, how she was, you know, she could have very well been something really, really big. And then, I mean, not to spoil anything for those who haven't read Young Justice, but a major change in her life occurs, and she has to double think whether or not she should still be a hero. And it was trauma like that. It was action, it was suspense, and just the overall camaraderie of the group that completely drew me in to Young Justice. And going young again, I think my current favorite group, for similar reasons, is going to have to be Young Avengers, because Alan Heinberg is doing one hell of a job with them. I mean, sure, the book might be late, and sure, it might be on a bit of a hiatus now until he finishes up with his Wonder Woman and all that, but amazing, amazing characters. And when I heard the name Young Avengers at first, I'm like, why the hell are they making this book? And he made me understand why this book was being made. And he made these characters feel alive and free, sort of similar to the way that I guess maybe the Teen Titans might have been in the 80s. That's probably the chemistry that I can compare it to, because I've read a couple of those 80s books. And I would definitely compare it to that. And the interaction I have with the, you know, new Avengers is great too, how Jessica Jones is sort of like the mother figure to them, you know, how Captain America has sort of adopted Patriot in the aspect of where he wants to see him succeed, and Hulkling's backstory is great, and I'm totally loving that. So all time would be Young Justice, and current would have to be Young Avengers.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt that Jim Chung can draw like a bastard.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's a great
looking book.
It really is. I mean, and also they work so well together. As writer and artist, they flow so perfectly, and that's what I've always loved about that. And for Young Justice, that I could say the same thing with Peter David and Todd Nock together. That is one of the best combos you'll ever find in comics, right there. And I'd love to see them do more stuff together in the future. Now, one thing that I'd have to ask, along with the lines of who your favorite team is. You ever have a team where you saw them for the first time and thought, what the hell are they doing here? And slowly they didn't go away and you wondered, why are they still here? Why are they still here? Until finally, they did eventually go away, but you know, you'll never escape the memory of that terrible, terrible team in your life. And anybody ever have that experience?
I don't think so.
Can't say that I have either.
So you've never found, well, okay, fine. You ever found any bad books, period? Any bad team books?
Well, I never saw what the attraction was with Ecstatics.
Okay.
Ooh.
I love Mike Alvord's Madman, but I was glad to see him doing work steady for Marvel. But I just, when I think of X-Factor, I don't even think of the original five X-Men. I think of Peter David's X-Factor with Strong Guy and Quicksilver and Havoc and the Larry Stroman or Joe Quesada art. That's my X-Factor, even though it was much later on. It was 5 years after the book started. But I don't know what the hell was going on with either with them coming up with Ecstatics and even just to take it to that other extreme, the whole Rob Liefeld changing the New Mutants into X-Force. That still, I mean, I understand why it happened. That I guess would be a team that I'm scratching my head over why they stuck around as long as they did.
Well, because you wanted to put more belts on their costumes, basically. I mean, that's the best way to think about that.
More belts, less kneecap.
Exactly.
Wasn't it the one that had the cards for the cover or something
yeah.
like
yes.
that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were five, the same comic, but it was bagged with five different cards.
Oh, God.
Whereas at least with X-Men, you had five different covers.
That's the book that turned into Ecstatics, though, isn't it?
X-Force is the one that later turned into Ecstatics, yeah.
Oh, it did, okay.
Yeah, although X-Factor has gone through plenty of transformations over the years, so...
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can say the same thing with that. I mean, X-Factor suddenly, you know, it went from being the original X-Men to, you know, Havoc and his band of merry mutants. Mind you, I didn't mind that, but today even, X-Factor is a very, very different comic than it ever was before. And,
right.
And now that it's sort of the detective agency, I could see why maybe some people might not understand why that was made. I myself am loving the current X-Factor.
Oh, I love it. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Peter David should write X-Factor forever. That X-Factor should just be a Peter David book.
All comes back to Peter David. Oh, yeah.
And fit everything that's been going on, you know, with House of M and everything, it just fit perfectly in. It's a great read.
Without a doubt there, definitely. And, I mean, going back to the X-Force thing, I think the main issue with Ecstatics is, had they made it Ecstatics in the first place, I think people wouldn't have had nearly as negative a taste in their mouth as they did. Because, you know, it went from being the X-Force we knew with, you know, Cannonball and Meltdown and Warpath and all these characters to suddenly being an entirely different book. Same thing with Thunderbolts. When they did that to Thunderbolts, I almost threw up. Because, oh my God, what the hell did they do with that book? You know, I mean, these characters we've grown to know over the years, and all of a sudden it's this, like, this prison book that's sort of like Fight Club, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
Whoa.
Yeah, that happened literally right after X-Force. They decided, hey, Thunderbolts is doing terrible. It worked for X-Force. Why don't we do it with Thunderbolts? And that's why Thunderbolts got canceled, because it had nothing to do with Thunderbolts anymore.
Yeah, I may be in the minority here, but I think... The X-Force Ecstatics changeover was a quantum leap in quality
okay.
from what it used to be. Miller's I thought it was one of the most brilliant books Marvel's ever put out.
I mean,
you're not in the minority. I actually jumped on it because I was reading Madman at the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to it for Mike Allred. The writing and the art was absolutely. I mean, I know Mike Allred didn't write it, but it was a great book. I really liked
Milligan
it.
Wrote it, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was Milligan and Allred. Yeah. And I mean,
Milligan. Sorry.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I liked Ecstatics, but I just would have rather it had been Ecstatics in the first place.
See, I was just floored when it. I mean, I didn't know. Normally, a Marvel team book will consist of either B or C list heroes that they just have out there that they'll put together. These characters in Ecstatics, I had never seen before, and I wasn't reading X Force for a while. I think the last time I picked up X-Force is still when Liefeld was drawing, when it first came out. So any changes that were going on with X-Force to lead into Ecstatics, I have no clue on. So I was just taken aback by this new change, by these new characters, by Gleep, Glop, or whoever.
Dupe.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a Dupe screensaver.
And in fairness, there was no transition between the two books.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was literally a jump to the first issue of X-Force with the Ecstatics team, because I read the couple issues leading up to it, because when I heard that Mike Allred was going to be doing the art, I'm like, oh, let me jump on and see what X-Force is doing right now. And it was literally the next, you know, the issue with where the Ecstatics team took over, it was totally different, and there was nothing. So I could understand a fan who was very into X-Force being a little upset because it was very jarring.
Well, there was the issue where the X-Force that we knew tracked down the X-Force that, you know, that Allred had started up, and they had a fight over copyright infringement.
So it would be worth my while, being a long-time Marvel reader enjoying comic books, to at least track down the Ecstatics X-Force issues?
I would say that.
There's a lot of themes that Milligan touched upon in that run that are sneaking their way into Civil War.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Not specific themes involving certain characters, but the whole cult of personality and the taking responsibility for the amount of powers that you have and their effect on normal people, that was covered a bit in that run.
And yeah. I highly recommend the recent Dead Girl miniseries that came out to anybody who is a fan of Allred and would love to actually, Allred did the breakdowns for that, but he didn't actually do the full art. But right. it was Milligan, however, and he does a very, very good job on that. So if you were fans of Ecstatics and you haven't picked up Dead Girl, pick it up, because it's really good Doctor Strange also. And those are the two main characters in the book. It's Doctor Strange and Dead Girl, both of which he writes really, really well. I'd like to see Milligan on a Doctor Strange book, to tell you the truth. But there you go with that.
To see a good current Doctor Strange book.
Well, that would be good, yeah. Yeah, because all he seems to do is guest star these days.
You know, written by Grant Morrison.
Well, there were, I don't know in which actual issue of Ghost Rider, but there were two pages online that Mark Teixeira drew for the comic, and there's a page where Doctor Strange appears and does freaky things with his fingers and does the, you know, Vulcan hand signs, and then like next page is Ghost Rider just hauls off and decks him, and he goes flying off the panel, and I just love seeing Tex draw, period, but to see him draw Doctor Strange, I mean, I'm already buying the book, but I'd buy it just for that appearance.
That sounds like something I need to pick up now. God damn you, David.
Hey, Ghost Rider, I believe issue 1 ships this month, and issue 2 was in the August preview, so yeah, get on board.
Just when I thought I was out, you pulled me back in. Thank you very
and
much.
And I believe it's the Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider, and I hope it's not to tie into the movie just because of the fact that it's the way Johnny Blaze was left. Well, see, I remember Johnny Blaze in the last issue of the Ghost Rider series, issue 81, fighting Mephisto, and the series ending. And then I know they brought him back for the Midnight Suns with the Danny Ketch Ghost Rider and Blade and whatnot, and I really wasn't a fan of that. So I haven't seen Johnny Blaze in years, so I'm happy to see him back.
Are there any teams that are not currently around that you want to see brought back?
Ooh, that's
tough. Defying the Troubleshooters.
Well,
Defenders.
Oh, okay, but
they.
Yep.
Now, see, the thing is with Defenders, they've tried so many times. and it seems as if, I don't know whether or not there's just not the audience base for it anymore, or whether they just don't get the right creators on it, but do you have a specific creator you want to see on Defenders, Vince?
I think if Planet Hulk turns into the story I think it's going to turn into, Defenders is the next logical step.
Okay.
Because, are you reading Hulk now?
I am, yeah.
And I think Planet Hulk is amazing. It's the best the title's been in a long time. If they can keep up and roll with it for, I think it's supposed to be a 14-issue story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And keep the attention on the Hulk, especially if he somehow ties into the end of Civil War or Annihilation, either one of the two. Spin off a Defenders book, not in the Giffen campy vein that they did with the miniseries, but more along the lines of what Busick did with The Order, to a certain extent. The first few issues of The Order were great. And if they can go back to a serious Defenders book, I think the industry would benefit, because we need a quirky... look how well Shadow Pact is doing.
Yeah.
That's essentially, you know, almost DC's Defenders, because none of those heroes are fit for a team book. Quite like the Defenders, so I'd love to see a new Defenders book.
And you know what? The closest thing we came to the Defenders as of late, other than the Shadow Pack, was on Justice League Unlimited. Actually, they had together, I believe it was Aquaman, Solomon Grundy, Amazo or Amazo or however you want to pronounce it, and I'm trying to think who else. Oh yeah, and Dr. Fate. And that was basically, you know, the Justice League version of the Defenders. And I really, really liked the way that that turned out. So maybe that's a sign to Marvel that, hey, if DC can do our own, do a book that we were already doing, maybe we should give it another shot.
Yeah. And Gerber's Hard Time has been canceled, so
yeah,
he's probably looking for work. Give him the Defenders.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That could work.
I would pick that up in an instant if Gerber was on it.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Gerber writing, and geez, who would be a good penciler for that?
For the
Sal Buscema, maybe.
How about Scott Collins?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Have you seen the solicitation for the Beyond?
Yes,
the third issue.
Yeah.
Oh no, not the third yet. No.
Oh, I won't say anything if you haven't seen it. But sweet. And that's a title that totally came out of left field.
I do like Scott Collins' art, but I'm. That got marked off my order only because of Dwayne McDuffie writing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what? You mentioned Shadow Pact before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Has everyone here read Shadow Pact?
I have, yeah.
No.
I have.
I have not.
Well, I won't spoil anything for you, but there's one question I have, seeing as you brought it up. Because you're talking about team books that disappointed. The first issue of that, when does that take place?
the first issue of that, I think... three-quarters of it takes place before 1 year later, and then the very, very end takes place after, I think.
But why did Superman have powers?
Because it happened before even Infinite Crisis.
It couldn't have, though, because they appeared in Infinite Crisis.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, man.
Right.
What was
it? When we reviewed it on our show, that was one thing that was so puzzling. I couldn't figure out when it took place. Because you're right. Okay, you could fit it in that time frame, but... if you put Shadow Pact in that bubble, how could they have been an Infinite Crisis?
How about halfway through? It must be like halfway through Infinite Crisis. That's the only thing I can think of because, well, that's the only thing that works, I guess, because Superman still had his powers. You know, Hal was Green Lantern. And, yeah, I guess it must have been literally about halfway through Infinite Crisis because you don't see Shadow Pact after that. Right. Like, you don't see Shadow Pact after their, you know, initial... Day of Vengeance stuff, so it could, I guess, maybe halfway through Infinite Crisis this must have been happening, I don't know.
That makes sense, actually, because that'd be the only way it would fit, and it would also explain why none of the other heroes could help out.
That's true, yeah. Do you guys remember The Power Company?
Yep.
Yes, I remember seeing it, but I've never read it.
I want that book back. I would love to have Kurt Busiek write some more Power Company, because I got on that book, I'd say... ooh, it must have been like 3 issues before it got canceled. And then it got canceled, and I got pissed. Really, really pissed, because...
That was Tom Grummett artwork, right?
That was Tom Grummett artwork and Kurt Busiek, and I was loving that book like nobody's business. And I love the concept of, you know, it's sort of like the Heroes for Hire concept, that's the best way to put it, only in DC. And it works so well, I would totally love to have that back at one point or another.
And I love books like that at DC. Fallen Angel was another book like that. Yeah. It seems to be any of their ones that are in the DC universe that are a little bit outside of the universe, so to speak. Yeah, they just can't seem to get a readership and survive.
Well, Vertigo does it.
Manhunter's having the same problems.
Well, Manhunter, yeah. Save Manhunter, save it, please. Okay, that was my Manhunter of the moment. There you go. But actually, you know, now that I think about it, I mentioned Heroes for Hire. Heroes for Hire is coming back.
Yep.
And it's on the heels of what's happening with Civil War. So it's actually, I believe it's going to be happening after Civil War.
Yes.
What do you guys think of the idea of the team that's brought together and they really don't like each other, but they're just doing it for the money? That sort of idea. I mean, is that a team book that you would pick up?
I would, because it's different. I like Gray and Palmiotti, that's who's doing the writing for it, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed the books that they've done so far, so I have a lot of confidence in what they do on a team book, but I like it because it's something different. I mean, I'll give it at least a first issue shot, and we'll see where it goes from there.
I mean, I'm interested in seeing Shang-Chi. I like Paladin that's in it, and I didn't read Daughters of the Dragon yet, so I'm glad that Nightwing is in it, so to speak, with Misty Knight and Colleen Wing. But it does sound like interesting. It is different, so it is probably worth picking, but just because they don't get along, they're in there for the money, it just sounds as though maybe they're going to be forcing stories out of it. I don't know if it's going to come naturally, but it very well might, especially since Palmiotti and Gray have a great track record.
How about you, Vince?
Big fan of Shang-Chi. I always liked the character, but I can't get past what I've seen of the Billy Tucci artwork. It leaves me cold, so I'll probably thumb through it, you know, at the shop, and if I you know, the story looks like it's going somewhere interesting, I'll pick it up, but I haven't pre-ordered it.
Well, you mentioned the artwork, and I have seen some of it. I guess you can sort of see where you're coming from with that. I mean, I might just pick it up just to see what it's like what Sean and David are doing. Just basically pick it up once. If it's actually decent, then I'll continue to do so. But you mentioned artwork. I'm going to go on the writer's side here, and then we'll do artwork after that. Who is your quintessential team book writer? And this is out there to everybody here, and I guess I'll start it off with Sean first.
Ooh, boy. I would say, I know this is going to sound weird because I said Claremont before for the X-Men. I'd say Wolfman, though, because the Teen Titans run that he did was so great. I would say Wolfman. I would love to see Wolfman on a team book again.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
especially since he also, I mean, he was also the main writer for Crisis on Infinite Earth. So, I mean, if not only was he doing the Titans at the time, but to also help orchestrate what was going on for a year in that book. And, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think if, you know, I could lean towards maybe Roger Stern when he was doing the Avengers, you know, or maybe Jerry Conway with the JLA, but I mean, he's still going to pale in comparison to Wolfman. So yeah, I'd have to say Wolfman.
There's a bunch I think handled the team book really well. Wolfman's Titans again was flawless. It's the best compliment I can give it. His run was flawless. Kurt Busiek's Avengers was very underrated.
Yeah,
the Perez run. When did that start? Like 2000?
Yeah, right after what, Heroes Return.
Yeah, an amazing run. Let's see. Yeah, those are the big two.
You mean not Scott Lobdell with X-Men following Claremont?
I'd have to go with Claremont for X-Men. Yeah, Lobdell. No.
Oh,
I know there's a million guys out there who did a fantastic job with team books, which are very. I don't think it's an easy task to handle that many characters.
Yeah, well,
and I mean, I think Byrne did a good job with Alpha Flight.
Yeah,
I was tempted to say Fantastic Four before when we were talking about all time, but a lot of Byrne's. I mean, he had some decent ideas, but I guess some of the presentation is I don't think the Fantastic Four stories hold up as well as some of the others that we've all mentioned.
Okay,
you see, call me crazy, but I don't consider Fantastic Four a team book.
Well, you are crazy, but I can see
I am. That's a family, which
it is
right,
yeah.
to, to me, it's a – and, I mean, how many times has it changed over the years? You had Luke Cage. You had She-Hulk. But essentially, the Fantastic Four is this four-member family.
Yeah.
Let's not forget Grant Morrison's JLA.
Oh, yeah. And okay. I'll be bringing that. I'll be bringing that up in a couple of minutes, actually, when I ask one of the other questions that I'm going to be asking. But Geoff Johns definitely has to be one of the quintessentials for me, because it seems every team book he's touched has been gold so far. And I mean, even his Avengers stuff. I mean, everybody forgets about that. Before Bendis came on Avengers, and before Chuck Austin did, may he rest in peace. Johns did a very, very good job with the Avengers, and his characterization was almost on par for every single one of the characters that he touched on that. JSA has been great, and Teen Titans has been amazing, and, well, I mean, obviously Infinite Crisis in some ways is, you know, the ultimate team book, and he did that one hell of a good job there, except for possibly the last issue, which again we'll get into later, but Geoff Johns definitely has to be one of those writers for me. Mark Millar, or Miller, depending on, you know, who you ask, is doing great Ultimates, like we mentioned previously, and he'll have to be up there for me. And I'm curious to see how I feel about him once Civil War's over. If Civil War delivers as much as it's been delivering the first two issues, I'll probably think even higher of him eventually. But I'm trying to think. There's one other writer that I was thinking of on the top of my head, and it completely escaped me just now. So maybe it'll come back eventually. But oh yeah, Winnick. Winnick's Outsiders has been great. And I mean, I think that proves to me that if you put him on an arc of, say, JLA, I think he'd be able to do it. I really think he'd be able to handle it. But again, I don't know how early that's going to happen, because, you know, obviously Meltzer's going to be on the book, and after that, who knows who's going to be taking over. But I'd love to see Winnick tackle some other teams in the DC Universe to see how I feel about it afterwards.
Okay.
You know, Noel, when you were mentioning Avengers before, one writer that I always forget, Steve Englehart.
He had a great... Oh, yeah.
I love the Strangers over at Malibu. His JLA Satellite era was really, really good. He's one of those writers I would love to see today on a team book at one of the big two. I know he's on the JLA Classified with the Detroit League.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him consistently on a team book, though. Even if it was JLA Classified, just keep him on there, because it's working right now what he's doing.
Oh, it is, definitely, without a doubt. And actually, you brought up Malibu, so I mean, I might as well ask this now. Any independent team books that, you know, stand out in your mind as wow, off the top of your head?
Well, I mean, just because we were on Malibu, I was a huge fan of Malibu when it came out, because especially what they were trying to do in making a cohesive universe, you know, that you would see things on the television set in one book that was happening in another book, and it was really neat how they did it. And they had a writing team that you couldn't beat. We mentioned Steve Gerber before, he was over there. That was outstanding. I liked a lot of the team stuff that was coming out of Valiant. They had some great stuff going on. Harbinger was a great book out of there, which I really, really enjoyed. So that was those were a couple. As far as independents, those were ones that if they came back out today, I would go and grab them in an instant. They would be part of my whole list.
What about you guys?
How about the Atomics? Great book.
Oh, that is an awesome book.
Mike Allred again.
Yeah. I miss seeing him regularly on anything.
He's got a regular book now, the Golden Plates, I think it's called.
I saw that actually. Have you been picking it up or?
No.
Yeah, that's what I've been missing.
Well, you know, now that I think about it, Vince brought up the Fantastic Four sort of being more of a family. I was going to mention Noble Causes as one of the books. The one miniseries of Noble Causes that I picked it up, I really, really enjoyed. But thinking to myself, are they more of a family also? Because they're, you know, the typical, you know, family-type entity that's very similar to the same sort of thing that Fantastic Four has. So, are they a team? That's the question. And I sort of do want to get a bit more into the whole, you know, is the Fantastic Four a team, or are they more of a family? Because, I mean, if that's the case, then, I mean, we could sort of even take out, like, the Doom Patrol are more of a family than they are anything else, you know, in the long run. Unless you know, count like Morrison's run and stuff like that, but they've usually been portrayed as more of a family unit. So, what's the difference between a family book and a team book?
Oh boy,
what brought them all together? I mean, Fantastic Four—they were all up there at the same time. They all experienced it together. I haven't read Noble Causes, so I mean, if this is a family that everybody was born into, or you know, it's in the blood. But whereas you have a team like you have the Avengers, and you just, or even the most recently the new Avengers with what happened on the raft and everybody escaping, and a bunch of heroes got together at the right place, right time, and they just figured, hey, you know, we work well together, just like Batman and the Outsiders. When they originally appeared, and they had to go to Markovia, and Batman dumps the Justice League, goes out there, and Geo-Force was already there because it was his homeland. I forget why Metamorpho or Black Lightning were over there, but you know, I mean, something brought everybody together, and that was it. They weren't born into anything. They didn't, you know, decide, hey, let's go into space and get soaked with some cosmic rays, and we'll come back, and you know, everything will be great. That's my perception of a family over a team.
I would also say interchangeability. Like, the Fantastic Four, you know, I mean, okay, I know they put She-Hulk in there for a while, but I mean, overall, you know it's going to be the same core team, and they're together that way because they're a family. But in most of your team books, even if the core group stays the same, there's always that option that one or two can leave, and they can pick up new members, and that changes the whole team dynamic and where the book's going. So that's one thing that, to me, makes an interesting team book, because writers can do that. When the book needs something, they can bring in somebody or change out somebody, and it changes, because then you've got everybody interacting with this new person or new people.
That's a great point.
That is a good point there, yeah.
With the Fantastic Four, I think the bonds between the characters are very different than, say, the bonds between, you know, Captain America or an Iron Man and the Avengers, where they're partners in this organization. But as far as Fantastic Four go, you have husband and wife, wife and brother. Reed and Ben are best friends. Ben and Johnny are, like, Ben's his surrogate brother. And the bonds are a lot stronger. You can't just walk away from that. Although, you know, it has happened infrequently. In the Avengers, Thor could leave, you know, we'll just fill his slot with somebody else, you know. He'll be missed, but there's a stronger cohesion in the Fantastic Four than there is with, say, the Avengers. That's my take on it.
I could certainly see where you're coming from with that.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt. Speaking of the Avengers, obviously, the Avengers have gone through a major change in the past couple of years, and that, of course, is the whole disassembled event, and then followed up with new Avengers. A lot of people call this the Justice Leagueification of the new Avengers, as you sort of had the quote-unquote big guns of the Marvel Universe together, you know, as one unit, as opposed to how the Avengers got together in the first place, which was all by, you know, chance and all that. Even though these guys did get together by chance, this is more like we set it up so that every single big hitter of the Marvel Universe is going to be together on one team here. What do you guys think of the new Avengers when compared to, say, the Avengers of the 80s or the 70s? You know, just how different is the team now? Does it deserve the title of new?
I can't answer this question because I haven't read any issues.
Which you'll soon be changing, I'm sure. You know, that you have your subscription to all the Marvel titles in the world and all that.
As long as that writer's on it, I probably won't read it.
weren't Iron Man and Thor, when they started the original Avengers, weren't they, like, pretty big heroes in the Marvel Universe at the time? I don't know enough about, like, their specific history.
They may have been, but neither one had their own title. Thor came from Journey into Mystery, and Iron Man was in Tales of Suspense.
Yeah.
Were those fairly big titles at the time, though?
I think so.
Yeah they were.
So, I'm guessing those were, like, big guns that they put together in that book, figuring that would be... And obviously they brought in Captain America to spice all that up at the time. I don't know. I think it deserves a title new, just because Marvel, to my knowledge, hasn't done anything like that before, where they've kind of taking their big guns and throwing them together in a book. It actually made for a very interesting... I read the first trade, and yeah, it actually made for a very, very interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the last episode that I read the trade, and I'm it read better as a trade. I'm glad I didn't have to wait month in, month out. I read it because of the recommendations. You know, just read it. So I did. I mean, the art wasn't bad. I did like the writing. I do think it should have the new moniker, because to me, and I'm just stuck in the 80s when it comes to Marvel, so to me the Avengers is Star Fox and Captain Marvel and Captain America and She-Hulk and you know, these characters, with the exception of Captain America and Iron Man, there really isn't anybody else from, although Spidey was an Avenger for like two issues. I have seen these characters in Avengers books before. They never really were Avengers. I think with the way Marvel has changed years over the years, I think it makes sense. Because it is all their big guns in one book, that's fine, but it's also like the 83rd book a month that Wolverine's in, so, or has been in. So, I mean, I do think it needs the new, but I have to give it another trade or two just to see if it's something that I think was a good idea.
Was it necessary, though? And that does tie into, you know, was it a good idea? I mean, was it necessary to reboot the Avengers like this? I mean, they had their own, you know, dynamic for so many years, and now it's so drastically changed. And that's why, I mean, I know plenty of people who stay away from New Avengers just because they were such huge Avengers fans and don't see the reason why this had to happen. Is this just Bendis being Bendis here and saying, I'm coming on a book, I need to, you know, make a huge, you know, drastic change here? Or is it just, did it just finally reach that time where Avengers needed to have some sort of change to make it interesting again?
You say that a lot of people dropped it because they went from Avengers to New Avengers, but how many people weren't reading Avengers that are now picking up New Avengers? Did they gain more readers than they lost?
That would have to be something to look into. Yeah, because I believe it actually has jumped up. So, I mean, in the long run, yeah. But
in the initial run, it was a top seller, too, wasn't it? Like, when it first came out, it was a hit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that much I definitely know. But also, I mean, at the same time, they were alienating some of their, you know, older readers that might have been, you know, following it for years and then just said, oh, they're new now. That means that the Avengers that I've been following for years are no longer relevant, blah, 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 blah. But then again, that's going to happen with any single change ever. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, when Grant Morrison's Justice League came out, and I'm going to sort of segue into that now, I'm sure that when that came out, there were plenty of people who said, this isn't the Justice League, this is just a whole bunch of people together, you know, blah, 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 this is Grant Morrison being Grant Morrison, blah, 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 blah. I felt that was a very necessary change for the Justice League because it sort of made the Justice League the Justice League again, as opposed to being, you know, a whole bunch of second stringers.
And one of the things that Morrison did when he did that, they were stories that mattered. A lot of times when they put a lot of big guns together, they forget to write stories that matter because nobody wants to mess with the continuity of any particular hero because they have their own book and you can't touch them because they're in the team book. So that a lot of times when you put the big guns in a book together, it's bad for storytelling because you can't do too much with the characters. He wasn't afraid to play around with those characters, and I think editorial let him do some interesting things with that book that actually mattered. They actually mattered to the universe. So,
and I mean, you got some great villains out of that also. I mean, Prometheus is the man. I mean, they made him into, you know, like the sort of like quintessential Justice League villain in my mind for a little while there, because, I mean, he was one of those guys that, well, he took down the entire frickin' Justice League, which is something that...
He's like the anti-Batman.
Basically, yeah. I mean, and he had, you know, all these different fighting styles in his helmet and were able to basically, you know, rip them apart from the inside out. And you had Justice League members that could do anything that they put their minds to, and yet Prometheus basically had their mind, and that's why they were able to be taken down at that point until finally, you know, they eventually won, because they're superheroes, of course they're going to win eventually.
I was going to say, he's the Taskmaster of DC.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think Prometheus is the only thing I got out of that I remember reading from Underworld Unleashed.
Okay. Yeah, Underworld Unleashed didn't really have much going for it, now that I think about it, because...
Except the neon green cover.
I was just going to say that. Look at you.
Well, I read the first issue. I didn't read everything that had to do with the mini, but I did read, for whatever reason, I did pick up those two, 16 and 17 of JLA, which I liked, and I did read the first trade of Morrison's run. Because I wasn't reading comics for a couple years before that, it helped bring me back into the fold.
And it sort of ushered in a new age as well, because, I mean, his book sort of signified the 90s for DC Comics. I mean, you know, the Justice League is here. We can turn to the Justice League for help. It wasn't like, oh, crap, the Justice League has, you know, two members that we can count on. The rest are all second stringers. What the hell are we going to do now?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, from a business standpoint, it makes perfect sense to put all the big guns in your team.
Yes.
It may not be a creative, easily accomplished creatively because of all the Splinter books, but in terms of sales, I mean, I don't want to see Wolverine in a team book, but other than the X-Men, but you have to admit the character sells a lot of books.
Well, you know, Wolverine's not in as many books as he should be. I mean, you know, put him in everything. I mean, have him show up in She-Hulk, you know, as the janitor or something. You know, I mean, just put him everywhere you can. He's Wolverine, bub. You know.
Justice League picture they were showing about possible potential members. I thought I saw him somewhere. Is Meltzer gonna?
Oh, you know what? You just
you know what? I hate to say it. I actually wouldn't mind seeing that. Just because it would make for something different with that character.
Now I totally have in my head like a Maguire written book where a Giffen DeMatteis or something like that, where they're putting together a new Justice League and Wolverine just suddenly walks in and he's like, "Hey," and then just slowly back. Out wrong title.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh man.
Maybe they killed him. I mean.
That's true, because adamantium probably is not the strongest metal in the DC universe.
You kind of reminded me of an Exiles issue that I read a while back, where Judd Winnick actually put a Green Lantern into a splash page at, you know, a Marvel Comics book with all these different heroes that were affected by the Phalanx, and one of them in the background was totally wearing a Green Lantern outfit, and they got away with it.
That was
just a total geek out moment for me, because I'm like, is that John Stewart Green Lantern? I think it might be. What the hell are you doing in Marvel? But obviously, you know, the same thing that happened with Flash, because there was that rumor going around for a while that this particular Marvel Comics character was supposed to be Barry Allen, because he had a similar backstory to what happened to Barry Allen in Crisis on Infinite Earths. I forget which character it was, but that amused me for about 5 seconds, and then, you know, I forgot about it entirely.
I do like when they do that, though. That is kind of funny when they... Dave Cockrum used to do that with his art all the time. He'd bring over characters... Well, Nightcrawler's a character that was supposed to be at DC.
In the Legion.
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah, a lot of Dave Cockrum's characters from the Legion found their way into X-Men.
Out of all the, you know, the team books out there, out of your favorites, which particular membership of that team has been the one where you're just like, yeah, this is perfect? And I'll, you know what? Let's go team by team. That would probably be the best way to go here. Let's start it off with the Justice League. What is your Justice League?
Oh boy, I would say
I stumped everybody. Woo.
I would say the old Satellite League by Englehart. I loved that lineup because it was it was all the big guns. They had like Green Lantern, Green Arrow, Black Canary. I mean, it kind of rotated in and out during those issues, like who they used in different missions, which I kind of liked. It kind of felt more like almost everybody was a member, and they could call on them at any point in time. Like, they've done that very well with Avengers, too, where throughout history they've had the reserve members that they would pull in every so often. I like that concept with the big core teams from either universe, either Marvel or DC. So that was, I guess, the Satellite era for me was really cool, because you really felt, and Morrison did this later on in his run, where he started to bring some more people into the book, where it started to have more of that feel, like that there was, like the larger universe as a whole could be a part of the Justice League. And that was always one of the reasons why I liked the Satellite era, because you really did believe that any hero could be called in at any point in time, or almost any hero. I mean, I like that concept, at least with the big book.
Well, I'm actually sort of glad you mentioned Morrison's later run, because I was just going to mention his when he had Huntress in the League, and when he had, you know, Connor Hawk, Green Arrow in the League, and
Steel
and Plastic Man, and Zoriel was in that at one point also. Zoriel the Angel. Mm-hmm. That was one of my favorite Justice Leagues, when you had the big guns and then you had the guys that you knew were sort of like learning and trying to prove something to the rest of the big guns, because obviously Connor Hawk trying to prove to everybody that he can be Green Arrow, Huntress trying to prove to Batman that she can be one of the protectors of Gotham, Zoriel trying to prove that, well, he should be there in the first place because nobody knew who the hell he was, and Plastic Man trying to prove that he could be serious at least, you know, once every 5 minutes. And that's what I loved about that particular Justice League, at least, especially during Morrison's run.
Aztec proving he had life beyond his book?
And then they killed him.
Yeah.
Yes, life beyond his book.
And I couldn't resist, because it was the irony about that character.
Oh, man. I had completely forgotten about Aztec until this very moment, so thank you very much for that.
I'm here for you, man.
What about your Justice League, Vince?
I'd have to go with the Satellite era, too. The characters that weren't big guns at the time became big guns, to me, anyway, as a kid. I had no idea who Red Tornado was, but a couple issues of Justice League, and he was one of my favorite characters. I latched on to Red Tornado, Zatanna, you know.
The Atom.
Yeah, you have the big three. Let's see, Red Tornado, Zatanna, Green Arrow, stick Hal in there. And
Ralph Dibny.
I don't know about Plastic. Oh, I'm sorry.
Elongated Man.
Yeah. Hawkman, you know.
Yep.
Perfect team.
Yeah, and I remember the cup of coffee Perez had during the Satellite era before he decided to go to Titan. So it is. I really tempted to say the Justice League era with Giffen and DeMatteis, but I got to go with the Satellite era.
How about the Avengers?
The lineup I mentioned with Star Fox and Captain Marvel and Black Knight and the Roger Stern, John Buscema, and heavily inked by Tom Palmer. Those runs in the 200s, mid to late 200s, I think. That's the Avengers that I remember reading, that I remember liking.
How about you, Vince?
I'd have to go with Silver Age for the Avengers.
Okay, so the old fashioned Thor, yeah. Iron Man, Captain America, Giant Man, Wasp, mm-hmm. Those guys?
Yeah, yep.
All right. For me, you know what? Buziak Perez. When they came back during Heroes Return, there was just... And I know for a while there, every single adventure known to man was in the book, but once they actually, you know, they thinned out their ranks and they actually got them in there with, you know, with Scarlet Witch, with Wonder Man, with Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, Giant Man, Wasp, and Hawkeye was in there for a while, and I think Falcon was even in it for a bit. That
Triathlon.
Triathlon. Actually, forget about the Triathlon, but everybody else was cool, but Triathlon was, no.
What did he have, the power of three men? I don't get what
Triathlon
the hell that character was supposed to be.
Triathlon was really good at gymnastics.
Oh. So it's a character that the electric company could have made.
I have...
Just like Firestar, you know? Created, no, but...
yeah. Hey, Firestar had a four-issue mini. I don't see Triathlon.
Actually, he did.
No.
I kid you not. There was a Triathlon mini. I swear to God. I'm looking it up right now, actually, because I swear to God this happened. I'm not making this up in my head. So let's see. Triathlon number one. Let's see what I get here. Come on. Triathlon. You know what? Wikipedia will be my friend here.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Let's see. Triathlon. I know there'll be an entry for him, and I almost want to read the entry just to see what they have to say about it. Triathlon Marvel. I'll put that in. Come on. You got to be here. Come on. You existed, goddammit. Holy crap.
Yeah, we know he existed because he was in JLA Avengers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was, yep. In that. Triathlon.
And he was in an issue of Black Panther during the Priest run, so I remember seeing him. I just have no idea what the hell he was good for, what he was supposed to do.
Well, you know what? This sort of says how well he's been remembered. There's no Wikipedia entry for Triathlon. Oh, wait, never mind. Here it is. Found it. Yay. All right. They hit it. Oh, Triathlon was the 50th member of the Avengers and was a member and spokesperson for the Triune Understanding, which I remember from Buziak's run that actually played a major role in it for a while. Okay, maybe I did make it up. He actually was not in that. Well, poop. He didn't have his own miniseries, but he should have, no. He was in Avengers number 3 from 8 to 9 and 15, 26 to 46, 48, 50, 52 to 56, 59. He was in Black Panther Volume 2, number 23. Captain America Volume 3, numbers 46 to 48. He was in Deadpool, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. During that crossover.
Yeah, number 44. Fantastic Four, number 39. Incredible Hulk Annual 2000. Iron Fist Wolverine, The Return of Kun Loon. What the hell?
K-On Lun.
Gesundheit. K-On Lun. Magneto, Dark Seduction, Maximum Security, The Order, and Thunderbolts he's been in.
Then you've already given him far too much attention than he's ever deserved.
Exactly. Well, hey, you know what? People need to remember who he is because he happened. But other than him, they were really, really cool. Not much I'll have to say about that team.
The Beast even showed up for a couple of
issues. Sure, and you know what? Firestar and Justice were on that team, and that's what I really liked about that team, actually. Because they brought in the new Warriors and, you know, made them cool. So, and I have to say that enough, they made them cool. Sean, how about you? who are your Avengers?
I would say during the 80s was really where I got a lot of interest in them. We mentioned Star Fox before. That was a great era for me. She-Hulk would appear every so often. Tiger would appear. I was never a huge Avengers reader, but I had different, and that was probably my longest run of Avengers in the early 80s because I really, really enjoyed what they were doing. That's when I got the idea of what it meant to be an Avengers reservist, and that really there were so many people that they didn't have regularly in the book that could pop up every so often depending on the mission. And I always liked that concept, that if you were a group like the Avengers, why wouldn't you have people on tap who had special powers that might be good for certain missions that you wanted to pull in based on their expertise? They always had a core team when I was reading it, but there was always like those one or two people that they would pull in every so often because they had certain talents, which would make sense if you're meant to be the top-tier core supergroup in your universe. Why wouldn't you pull from anybody you possibly could who's a hero out there and use their talents to your advantage?
And I love the fact that Star Fox is the human roofie. That had to be mentioned because if you've been reading She-Hulk lately, that actually came up. A woman actually brought Star Fox to court for raping her. And then, of course, as soon as she gets into the courtroom, she's like, "Oh no, I love Star Fox. We did it all intentionally. Blah, de, blah, blah, blah." Why? Because Star Fox was in the room.
Oh, I have got to pick up that book. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
You got to pick up She-Hulk without a doubt, because like I just mentioned, anything that makes Star Fox into, you know, a giant perv is, you know, fine in my book. So, come on, tell me if you didn't have if you had those powers. All right, let's not get into that. But anyway, how about the JSA?
I have none.
You have none.
I have no, I can't tell you. JSA, the All-Star Squadron. Whoever was on the All-Star Squadron, that's my
JSA.
That
counts, because they were technically, you know, they were that generation's JSA, so yes. All-Star Squadron, that definitely works. Back in the days of Jade and, you know, that team.
Even before
that.
Jade was Infinity Inc.
Oh, my mistake. Okay, all right. I always get those two confused in my head, so.
All-Star Squadron was Liberty Bell, Johnny Quick, the Amazing Man, the Tarantula, the Golden Age Gas Mask Sandman.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, because I guess, yeah, All-Star Squadron and JSA are interchangeable, so that totally works there. Sean, how about you?
Boy, I've loved the lineup with... I like the mix of the old characters, like the original Green Lantern, Jay Garrick. I love the fact that they have a new Dr. Fate, a new Mr. Terrific, a new Dr. Midnight. All those characters are really, really interesting in their own rights, mixing in with the older characters. Power Girl, of course, being in it. She's kind of the one who always, like, she's like the daughter that always wants to be in the know, but they kind of leave her out of the know. Which, I mean, it's that kind of team interaction that I like. Stargirl is always great because she's constantly trying to prove herself. And, who am I forgetting? A little kid. Thunder, Johnny, like one who's Johnny Thunder's replacement. I'm forgetting his name right now. I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, God. Yakim. Yakim.
That's it. Thank you.
Yakim Thunder.
Yeah, and I like him too. I'm hoping actually that they at some point in time get a new Dr. Fate in that book, because Dr. Fate's been a character that I've always been intrigued by. I would like to see that character back in, just because I think we've gotten away in comics from a lot of the really cool magic characters, but I'd like to see some of them brought back in. I mentioned Doctor Strange before, that I'd like to see him back, and he's someone, if we did it in a Defenders book, I'd love to see a Doctor Strange as a part of that, because some of these characters need something to give them a chance in the spotlight again. So that would be my core team, the one that I just listed.
Yeah, and I'll agree with that, actually, because the current John's JSA is just, it's just so great, and I mean, the mixture of the young and the old, even Hourman, I mean, they have the, you know, they have his son, and then they have him. at the same time at one point, which was actually fun seeing, you know, both of those guys, you know, being able to use basically two different powers for Hourman at the same time, if you think about it, because, you know, one could go one way and the other one could go the other way, and the interaction between father and son there was just a lot of fun for me. Vince, you have one?
While I enjoyed the annual JSA, JLA team-ups back in the day, I'd still have to say Johns did, he worked wonders with the team. And the current lineup is probably my favorite.
Okay.
Stargirl, Wildcat, you know.
The works.
Yeah.
We've been mentioning Defenders a lot, so how about Defenders? I mean, do you go core team, or do you want just some of the other guys in there, like Nighthawk and other guys like that?
I would want Nighthawk. I would, Valkyrie, Hellcat, Son of Satan.
I haven't heard of that character, actually.
Damien Hellstrom.
Oh, okay. All right, there you go.
It's better. I don't even know if Doctor Strange was in it much during that time. But yeah, towards the end of the series, I really got a kick out of that.
Was the Slaifa in it back then? The Who? Silver Slaifa?
No. No, he was.
Oh boy, Sean, do you have a favorite Defenders?
Well, basically, David just said it. I wouldn't mind characters like Black Knight coming back into that book again. Doctor Strange would be a great addition, but I like the whole core group. I love Nighthawk in that book. I'd like to see Hulk, Valkyrie, Hellcat was great, and I was a big fan of Son of Satan. That was the era that David just described was the era I was reading Defenders in, and I loved the series during that time. It was a great
good
series.
Man.
And same for you, Vince, or?
Yeah, I said the initial team.
Okay.
Did you say?
I haven't said mine yet, so thank you for reminding me about that. Okay, here we go. You know, when I think about it, actually, there was a Defenders team back in the 90s that was done by Eric Larson that went a couple of issues. I think it went about, like, 12 or 13, now that I think about it, that had the originals plus Valkyrie plus Nighthawk that were a lot of fun for me because, like, combination of Eric Larson's old-fashioned, old-style art plus the Defenders really worked for me. And I did any of you guys pick that up back in the day, or am I the only one who remembers it?
I have them all. Excellent.
Okay,
series.
Good. I'm glad I'm not the only one here because that was really good. And honestly, it got canceled. I was upset when it got canceled, but I can understand why because it was a sort of book that really probably only like connected with certain people. It didn't really have a wide audience, I guess. But that was a really good Defenders run for me.
Didn't Kurt Busiek have something to do with
he
that?
He did. Yeah, I think he co-wrote it with Larson actually, if I remember correctly. And I think he started writing it, and then Larson took over, if I remember correctly, or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, that was a lot of fun. And Busiek was writing that at the same time he wrote Avengers, actually. So that was, like, perfect Busiek back in the day. Anybody else here pick that up, or...?
I remember seeing, I think, a house ad or two for it, but no, I didn't pick
it up. Okay, how about you, Sean?
Pick that up, but I'm intrigued by it now.
There might be a trade of it out. I'm not entirely sure. You might want to look into that, so...
My wife will hate you for like another reason.
It falls somewhere between a serious take on the team and the Giffen stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't entirely serious.
Yeah. There was a curse on the entire team. This was the basically the premise of it. There was a curse on the main team, which was obviously, you know, the originals, which was Silver Surfer, Doctor Strange, the Hulk. The big three, as it were, of the Defenders, there was a huge curse on them where whenever there was any sort of trouble, they would be brought together. And they couldn't fight that, so they were forced to be Defenders. I forget who put the curse on them, but that was a lot of fun.
Oh, I like that. That sounds real interesting.
Yeah, because Defenders forced to be Defenders, that's bound to be a good time.
I remember Namor not being happy.
Oh, yeah. And I forgot to mention Namor, of course. Namor was the other four, so yeah. But, oh, boy. Yeah, he was not happy. But then again, when is Namor ever happy? I've never seen a comic in my life where Namor was in a good mood. But that's why I love him so much.
I bet the Little Mermaid could tell you some stories, but I don't know.
You know, I'd like to read that too.
there'll be a VH1 Behind the Music of the Little Mermaid someday, and we'll talk about her sort of affair with Namor. Oh my God! All right, let's move things on a bit here from the, you know, who's your favorite talk, because I'm sure that you know all our listeners right now are like, oh my God, what are they doing?
We're not going to talk about who would do the art on that book.
No, Sean, no. Okay, fine.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, go ahead. We probably shouldn't go there.
I just want to mention this, though, before we actually go on. Is there a particular artist that you yourself screams, like, this guy has to do team books? Like, is some guy who's just absolutely made for team books out there?
Perez,
obviously. But, Vince, obviously Perez for you, too, or?
No. I love George's work, but and he does a great team book. But he wouldn't be my first choice. No.
Who would be your first choice?
I don't know who my first choice would be, but it wouldn't be Perez. Sorry.
Perez.
Yes. God bless him, Jack Kirby.
Okay.
If he were still alive, from the living, I would have to say,
Greg Horn.
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh my God! Wait a minute. You know, Greg Horn doing sequential pages? That's not supposed to happen.
No, it would be. Why don't they just call it the Sears catalog? He's so good.
Oh God! And they could have Rob Liefeld do covers. That'd be.
There's a guy who's currently working for DC now who would do a killer team book, and I think he displayed this ability on the Villains United. Not Villains United. Day of Vengeance is Justiniano.
Yeah.
That guy is he is incredible. And I like to think of him as the Bernie Wrightson of our the new generation. The guy just has a style about him that look at Day of Vengeance. It sings. His layouts are so dynamic. I love the guy. He would be my first choice.
There Ethan Van Sciver needs to do more team books.
I don't know.
You don't know?
He did a well enough job on Green Lantern Rebirth and a couple of issues of Green Lantern, but I don't know if more is always better when it comes to Ethan Van Sciver.
Because I liked his new X-Men. That's why I mentioned that, because I felt he did a very good job with the new X-Men characters, and I'd like to see him on something maybe a bit smaller, like perhaps maybe on something like an Outsiders for a couple of issues or something like that, and maybe see how his style works with that. He's going to be doing Superman Batman, so that right. I mean, that's not exactly a team book, but he will be on that for a couple of issues at least. So that'd be kind of interesting to see. Sean, is yours Perez or Perez or Parvadevadevadez or?
And to go back to what Vince said before, I'm actually really enjoying Barry Kitson on Legion of the Superheroes. Okay. The book consistently looks good every month. There's lots of detail on the pages. The characters, you can see facial expressions. It's just a good-looking book. I mean, talking about for artists today, it's a book that comes out on time and looks great. I don't know what else you – I mean, it's one of those where it's like, what else can you ask for out of an art team? And it looks – it's a great-looking book.
I didn't even think of that. because he did JLA Year One when Wade and Augustin did the writing on it. And that's right. I forgot about Kitson.
That was a great looking book too.
Yes, it was.
Kitson's from the Perez school. I mean, he has the same qualities that George does.
And he did a lot of the Legion books, the Legion 90, Legion 91.
Yeah. Well, what do you guys think about Steve McNiven?
It's pretty.
Yeah, it's good looking art. You can't argue with that.
It really is.
I'm not sure if you guys have actually picked up his new Avengers issues, because actually I think that's one arc past the new Avengers issues that are in that trade. Am I correct, David? Or
yeah, the first trade is just
okay.
Finished.
All right, because he did the Century arc, if I remember correctly, but I'm not entirely sure there. But McNiven, when he does a team book, oh my God. In fact, you know what? Had the New Warriors not been, you know, absolutely, mutilated to the point of mass destruction and all that, then perhaps I would say he should do New Warriors. But I digress. I seriously think he would have done a good New Warriors for some reason. Even Alpha Flight, actually.
I could see him doing Alpha Flight.
Yeah, you know, get those, you know, Canadian flags on every one of those outfits. He'll do a great job.
You know who I really liked on JSA? Was it Sadowski who did that nice long run on the book, and it looked really, really sharp? I'm almost positive it was Sadowski. And it's a name I forget, just because I don't associate his name with anything except for the JSA, but that book looked really, really sharp during that hour. I'm almost positive it's Sadowski. Sadowski and Bear, I think, were the... that were
when are Kirk and Steven Sadowski? Yeah.
Kirk was outstanding on the book, too, but Sadowski was the one I remember those issues, because he did The Return of Hawkman, that whole... which, obviously, I know, but, I mean, that book, the writing and the art, it just... There's always been a lot of consistency in the JSA book, even though they've had different art teams, with just a great-looking book. But I remember the Sadowski era being one that kind of stood out for me as being really sharp. Lots of character detail, just a really, really good-looking book.
You know, Sean, I think we're going to install a Hawkman counter.
I've only mentioned it twice.
I did.
That's a new record for me.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, no, that'd be great. You know, tuning into Raging Bullets, Hawkman 1. Hawkman 2.
I haven't mentioned Hawkman on my show ages. I'm actually deliberately avoiding the character
I'm
right
sorry.
Now.
I'm sorry. I'm listening to episode 10 right now. That's the only one. I'm a couple behind, so we're
out.
Oh, boy. Due to the overall length of this episode, I'm going to be splitting up this episode into a special edition of the Comics Podcast. I'm going to be taking two parts of this episode.
We put a headset on.